What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Ready, Set, Mindful podcast. I'm your host, Carrie Bishkay, and this is a solo episode that's going to be all about trauma. So if you're someone who has trauma, curious about trauma, wants to work through your trauma, and you're not quite sure how, but you're frustrated that it keeps your experience with trauma keeps popping up and impacting your performance and day to day, then make sure you check out this episode. Stay tuned. So, yeah, I hope everyone is having a good week. If you're not, still time to turn it around. I'm feeling a little off this week. For those of you that know, I worked my ass off to train for this ultra marathon. I was supposed to run it last Sunday over in Clearwater here in Florida. And yeah, my husband and I are going through fertility treatments, and that day just did not align with our treatments that we're doing. So wasn't able to put my body through that. And yeah, just kind of a bummer. So those feelings of disappointment are still kind of lingering. I'm just letting myself feel that a little bit and just kind of live in the space of feeling uncertain about my next race and kind of what's coming. And yeah, so sometimes we just need to focus on doing the next thing that's going to make us feel better. So I just keep reminding myself of that. Like, okay, what's the next thing that I know makes myself feel better? Whether that's, breath work, making sure that I eat well, I'm getting enough rest. Those things really fill me up. The podcast definitely fills me up. So I'm always so excited to share information on here, connect with you guys. And seeing the work that I do with my clients, that obviously fills me up too. So, shout out to all of you guys who listen to the podcast and allow me to just keep doing what I do, because that definitely helps in those moments where you're just feeling a little bit off and having an off day, and that turns into an off week, things like that. But just know that you can always turn it around. So, just focus on that next thing. So, I'm definitely not immune to that. I struggle with that just as much as the next person. So just focusing on what is that next thing that can make you feel better, right? So let's get into the episode. Let's get into trauma. Dun dun dun. Super fun topic to talk about. It's maybe a word that's overused or casualized a lot. Maybe you hear people talk about trauma and how they feel like, traumatized by XYZ, or they have PTSD because XYZ, and really saying that kind of takes away from, people who have actual trauma. So the fact that we casualize it, I mean, it's good and bad. I like that the word is out there more and we're talking about trauma, because we need to talk about things and we need to kind of destigmatize trauma and talking about trauma. So in that aspect, that's good. But whenever we're kind of casualizing and dismissing, some things that, people that actually have trauma, that, and then that's where it's a problem, right? So the word used to have more heavy connotation than it does now. So that's a bonus. That's good. But for some people, it still does hold a lot of weight, and some people are really resistant to talk about trauma, because it is still stigmatized, right? So what the hell is trauma? We're going to talk about that. Trauma is it's an emotional response that's a result of a stressful event, in simple layman's terms. So a lot of times it's a lasting emotional response that lingers long after the stressful event is over, right? So trauma shows up in our body. So it's physiological. So we can have a physiological response to trauma. So maybe like a panic attack or sweating, increased heart rate. And then we also have emotions that are associated with trauma, right? So oftentimes that's fear, anxiety, anger, frustration, all of these emotions that are associated with trauma too. And then everyone has their own response, their own trauma response. And we're going to get into trauma responses, which are the, fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. So when trauma happens, we have these reactions to it, right? And so sometimes long after that trauma has happened, maybe you have something that happened to you years ago. When something reminds you consciously or subconsciously, when something present day reminds you of that trauma, your body remembers, your body knows what's up. Your body's really smart. And so subconsciously, when that trauma pops up, you may not make that connection and know that it's connected, but your body goes into, you know, some of those physiological symptoms. You may be super irritated, in a bad mood. Maybe you're dissociating, maybe you're having a panic attack and you're just not sure why. It's because your body, you probably haven't processed that trauma and your body's trying to remind you like, hey, are we safe right now? So we'll kind of get into the trauma responses here in a little bit, but that's just the nuts and bolts of what trauma is. It's an emotional response that, you know, it's a result of a stressful event or stressful events, stressful experiences, relationships that have happened, right? So types of trauma, there's emotional, sexual, physical trauma. Those are like the three pillars that, you know, that I talk about a lot. And so when we talk about emotional trauma, that can be things that you've experienced either as a kid, as a teen, as an adult, whether you have a boss or a coach or a partner who, you know, talks to you in a way, you know, is manipulating you, has some narcissistic tendencies. We're going to have a whole episode on that. So don't you worry if you have questions about narcissism, withholds love or information, or manipulates in some way, right? Like those are examples of emotional trauma, abandonment, right? That can definitely cause emotional trauma and scarring, when we're looking at trauma. So sometimes people don't really realize or understand the impact that they, you know, as a result of their childhood or young adulthood, some of the emotional scarring that happens. So that's the one I have to clarify the most with clients. Typically people don't have a ton of questions on sexual or physical trauma, right? But the emotional one can be really nuanced and kind of confusing. So always kind of like try to dig into it there, not to make clients, you know, like you're digging for trauma, but if someone is having a response, if they're constantly having trauma responses, I'm like, okay, what is happening? Like, what the fuck is happening here? So that I really try to ask those questions so that we can figure out why they're being, you know, either consciously or subconsciously triggered, if that makes sense. So yeah, trauma can definitely have an impact on our sense of safety, our sense of self, our ability to have healthy relationships and regulate our emotions. Yeah. So people who have not processed their trauma are walking like ticking time bombs, right? Like something could always set them off and cause them to, you know, fight, flee, freeze, or fawn. So you want to make sure that you're working through your trauma. You have that awareness to move through it and have those tools so that you can have, you know, healthy, functional relationships, because it's just not fun to walk around with unprocessed trauma and just not know why you're behaving the way that you're behaving, but you're super unhappy and people around you are unhappy, right? So we're going to talk about acute trauma, acute, chronic, and complex. Acute trauma is single incident or single experience that was traumatic. So maybe it's a car accident, a death. I mean, we're talking like extremes, right? So maybe a car accident, a death, a deployment, which, I mean, obviously many things can happen over the course of that, but some single incident that happens that's really big to you. Maybe your hamster dies when you're 6 years old and that was your best friend. And that was really traumatic for you, right? The worst thing that has ever happened to you is the worst thing that has ever happened to you. So if you get into a martyr battle with someone who's trying to compare trauma, like it's just know that that's a losing battle. You never want to compare trauma. I was just getting into this with somebody the other day who was like, who do you think has more trauma, EMTs or military? And I was like, well, that's, yeah, you absolutely can't compare trauma. You're just going to get people pissed off and it's just not super helpful. Right. So, but a single incident, would be like an acute trauma, right? So maybe you're having flashbacks, nightmares, maybe you're having panic attacks, you're avoiding certain places because it reminds you of that single incident. You're having a physiological and emotional response to things that remind you of that incident, right? So that's when we would want to work on, we want to work on that. I'll get into some of those tips later, but something like EMDR can really help with that desensitization process in a really healthy way so that you're not so attuned to that trauma so that it doesn't feel like it's 3 inches from your face when it happened 15 years ago, for example. chronic trauma is repeated and prolonged trauma. So that's, you know, something that you're, you know, speaking of EMTs or military, right? Like that's a perfect example of somebody or a community that experiences chronic trauma on the daily. It just never stops. They are go, go, go from sun up to sundown, and they're seeing a bunch of shit that is very traumatic, from death to overdoses to small scale, little cut traumas along the way. So that's repeated and prolonged. So that definitely stores up in your body, right? Your body remembers everything that's ever happened to you. So I love the book. I'll definitely link it here in the show notes. The Body Keeps the Score, fantastic book by Bessel van der Kolk, all about trauma and how your body holds trauma. Your body remembers everything that's happened to it, right? Like in your cells. So if you're somebody who feels like you have a lot of heaviness in your chest, or you have, you know, GI issues, or your back is always super tight, your neck is always super tight. No, that's not always an indication that you have trauma, but something to pay attention to if you do have trauma and you notice that certain areas of your body just are off. That's something to definitely, definitely pay attention to, because we do hold a lot in our bodies. And if we're not actively working to release that trauma, then guess what? It gets stored in your cells, and you're going to look at other areas to point to when maybe, you know, we start with releasing that trauma. Maybe that's where we start, right? So chronic trauma is repeated and prolonged. Another example of, chronic trauma would be if you're in an abusive relationship. So whether you're, you know, parent, child, parent, coach, partner to partner, you're in a relationship where you're just kind of enduring that either emotional, sexual, physical abuse and trauma on the daily, and you can't get away from it. That's chronic trauma, right? The next area we're going to talk about is a complex trauma. So this one is the mothership of trauma. So you have a bunch of things that are happening with you. Maybe you have generational trauma. Your family has a lot of, you know, substance use or mental health. And as a result of that, you didn't, you know, you accumulated a lot of trauma in your childhood. And then that you had some unhealthy relationships as a teen, a young adult, and as an adult, where you have exposure to different various traumatic events. It's really extensive and layered. So that complex trauma can be really intense. So definitely something to untangle. And, you know, you really want to work on rewiring that trauma brain, because a lot of that complex trauma is, it takes years sometimes to rewire. If you're wanting to get in a place where you're healthy, you're functional, you're able to have good relationships with people, you're able to perform and feel good about yourself and your behaviors, right? So trauma can show up in so many different ways, but really it's, you know, anxiety, depression. We know that people with trauma can be super anxious. Again, we talked about environmental triggers that can pop up. Depression, right? That's definitely one that pops up. That is depression and the military community. That's one that is really tightly linked as well, because we just don't give enough support to our military members especially when they come back or, from deployments, or when they're exiting the military community, we just don't have enough mental health support for them. And so that depression can definitely come into play, because they just don't have the tools and aren't provided the resources to work through some of that stuff. And so it leaves people wondering, like, what is wrong with them, especially if you're just not aware and you're not super in tune to trauma and what it is and how it shows up in the body. You just feel like something is wrong with you, and you have no motivation, no energy. You're sad, you're getting triggered. The relationships are totally chaotic. So oftentimes it can leave people feeling just super depressed, right? That trauma also shows up with sleep and eating disorders. I see this a ton, where, you know, eating is definitely a coping tool. It's definitely an emotional tool that many people lean on as a comfort, as a safety to kind of disappear, to go inward and just escape the trauma, right? So whether that looks like binging or mindlessly binging or under eating, trying to punish yourself for maybe trauma that you've endured. So kind of both ends of the spectrum there with eating and disordered eating patterns and trauma, and then sleep. Obviously, I mean, people who have trauma, varying levels of trauma, are going to potentially have nightmares. Maybe sleep is not a safe, they don't feel safe sleeping. That's a big one, especially with a lot of sexual assault, survivors that I work with that just really don't feel safe sleeping. And so we have to work to rewire their brain to get that positive association, or at least neutral association, that sleep is okay. You're okay. You're safe to sleep. And oftentimes your anxiety will keep you up. And so I see that as well, the anxiety and sleep connection. So that is definitely a way that trauma can show up. Relationship issues is another massive one. If you have trauma and you have not processed it, I bet you $1 million, it's going to show up in the relationships around you, whether that's with your partner, spouse, your coach, your teammates, your boss. Like it's going to show up. Your trauma responses, you can only, what's the statistic for this? It's kind of like a honeymoon period, right? Like you can only, I'll have to find this and talk to you guys about it another time, but you can only hide your true self, your best, you can put on that front of your best self, for like 3 months. It's like the honeymoon period or something. And then your true colors will start to come out, right? It's really hard to keep up that front long-term unless you're a sociopath. But the fight, flight, freeze, or fawn, that trauma response, that's going to come up whenever you're encountered with stress or something that reminds you of your trauma, whether that's people, places, or things. So relationships are a surefire way to just magnify your trauma, your unprocessed trauma, right? Other ways that trauma can show up. I mean, we talked about anxiety, panic attacks. Those are really a result of you not having control of your breath, of your emotions, of your intrusive thoughts. And that's just an accumulation, right? And a panic attack is you, your body letting you know it doesn't feel safe. Like it feels like it's going to die, right? So it's super unfortunate. And that happens a lot with trauma, right? Just not having those skills to proactively see what's ahead of you and work on some of those tools to help you get ahead of your trauma, if that makes sense. So those are some ways that trauma can show up in the body. Again, it's like physiological. So it shows up in your body, with your breath, your heart rate, you're sweating, you maybe dissociate and you go out of your body. That's very common for people. It's a protective mechanism and defensive mechanism to try to protect yourself from the trauma. So that's a super common one. It's really dangerous because oftentimes you're not sure of how much time has passed or what has happened around you. You're totally zoned out. You're totally disassociated from your body. It's a way for you to escape that current reality because your reality is too painful, too much, too strong for you, right? So dissociation is definitely something that comes with the territory too. Avoidance, avoiding people, places, or things because it reminds you of your trauma. So trauma really is like from the inside out. Like you have those physiological symptoms that pop up, the emotions, like the living in fear, living in panic, living in anxiety. Those are, that definitely pops up and is associated with trauma as well. So we're going to get into trauma responses. These are, I'm sure, lots of people have heard of fight or flight, even freeze. But fawn is one that we, isn't talked about a ton. So I'm excited to get into that one and talk about that a little bit. But for fight, like a fight response, if you're someone who's experienced trauma and you haven't really worked to process it, just pay attention here. Does this sound like you? Are you somebody that tries to self-preserve? You feel like you're always being attacked. You're on the defensive. You try to put up a shield when someone says anything critical of you that might penetrate your protective force field. You get all amped up. Maybe your heart starts to race a little bit. You get tunnel vision. Maybe the thoughts start popping in. You start to feel like there's a threat to your safety, right? So it's a perceived threat that maybe someone just gives you some feedback, but you're responding in a way, maybe that their feedback is, you know, reminiscent of one of your traumatic experiences that you had with your dad or with your coach or something like that, that kind of triggered you, set you off to get into this self-preservation mode, right? I'm going to protect myself because you're trying to hurt me and I have to work all day to just get by to make sure that no one penetrates my force field, right? You're just trying to constantly, people in trauma, people who have trauma are just trying to tread water all fucking day. And it's exhausting, right? It's a lot. I mean, think of how much energy you have to expend to try to protect your force field all day. Just the goal is to just not get hurt, right? Just let that sink in. I mean, that's hard. It's a hard life to live. So people in flight, that's the way that they live though, right? They're always preparing for a threat. They always feel attacked. Other things that kind of go along with people who have that fight trauma response, they have a sense of entitlement or demand perfection from others. Maybe they come off as a bully when really they're so insecure and they just are trying to protect themselves, but it comes off as this really extreme facade, right? To the point where people can think that they're entitled, they're a bully, they're a narcissist, they're demanding perfectionism from me. Like, who are they? I'm just like, kind of look like an asshole, you know, someone who's in fight. So that's somebody who's in fight, right? Flight is not what you think. I mean, sometimes it's like if something reminds you of your trauma and you get set off by that said thing, you run out the door. I mean, that's also like, that's a very literal sense, like what can happen for sure. But other ways that flight can show up is through throwing yourself, and this is super common for overachievers too, especially, you just throwing yourself into your work, being a perfectionist, needing to just stay busy all the time. Like, these are my people. These are the people that I work with. And all of those things, the workaholism, the perfectionism, the needing to stay busy all the time, I don't want to let myself think, that is all, you know, that's all because what's the result of not doing those things? Well, you're going to be present with yourself. You're going to be aware. You're going to be in quiet, in stillness with yourself and your thoughts. And that's too much. That's too scary. That feels wrong. So maybe some of your trauma was emotional trauma where your parents or your coaches or, your peers or whoever, you were made to feel bad. You were shamed into, performing to such a high standard and being held to this maybe perfectionistic standard of excellence. And if you don't feel like you're go, 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 go all the damn time, then who are you? What are you doing? Right. So that can also be a trauma response, the workaholism, the perfectionism, the people pleasing. We'll talk about that. That's more fawning, but yeah, the flight is, that's a big one that comes up a lot in the clients that I work with. So just pay attention. If you're someone who feels the need to work yourself into the ground, you're a perfectionist or you're needing to stay busy all the time, like, what are you running from? Like, are you running from anything? Like, if you were to give yourself a break, if you were to pause, if you were to give yourself some grace, like, what would that say about you? Like, if you were just left in your stillness to have some space to reflect on where that's coming from, like, what answer would come to you? Okay, so the flight trauma response, you know, is really an attempt to outrun this perceived danger, the danger being stillness, you know? So just think about that. Freeze response, that is when you feel so overwhelmed by your trauma that you can't move, you freeze. So some things that are associated with that, dissociation, when you freeze and something, you know, something comes up in your day to day or in conversation, right? It can be a person, place, or thing that kind of sets you off. And whether you're conscious or subconscious, you freeze, you're overwhelmed, you can't move, maybe you're dissociating, you're not sure of how much time is like passed, or what's happening around you. You kind of lose all sense of grounding, but that's your response to that perceived threat, right? So sometimes that can look like isolation too. So people that freeze and they're just like, I don't really quite know how to handle this situation. I'm just shut down. They can tend to isolate. They can zone out. Sometimes people think that they're being lazy because they are zoning out, or maybe they're being rude. They're not paying attention to you, but maybe there's something different that's happening there, right? So that's the freeze response. The last trauma response that we're going to talk about is fawning. So fawning is, you know, it's people pleasing. It's when you're going above and beyond to make people happy, to try to neutralize the threat. The threat is somebody not being happy with you, somebody judging you, somebody thinking that you're not enough, you're not doing enough. So you're fawning, right? Those are a lot of my clients too. I mean, I see clients in flight and fawn. Those are the really, really big trauma responses that overachievers and athletes have a lot of difficulty with. And to be honest, it comes from them having such high expectations of themselves, and also their conditioning and their messaging as they're growing up, and the parenting of, you know, setting such a high bar for that athlete or for that overachiever, which is a blessing and a curse, right? There's so many benefits that come with that, and having expectations for yourself and things like that. But if you never learn boundaries, you never learn how to give yourself grace, you never learn how to rest, you never learn how to advocate for yourself and sometimes accept that you're not always going to make everybody happy and being okay with that, right? Then it's a problem. Then it's an issue, right? So someone who has a fawn trauma response can find themselves in relationships where they're super agreeable, they're codependent, they're people pleasing. They don't really know who they are, right? They're just trying to be what that other person wants them to be. Yeah. They have an issue with boundaries. They just don't have that internal compass, that strong sense of self identity. So that's fawn. That's the trauma response there. So now we're going to talk about the three tips that are super helpful for healing your trauma, right? So first and foremost, therapy. Like we got to talk about trauma. We have to process trauma, and working with a trauma therapist, somebody who's EMDR certified. I'm EMDR certified, stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. I've done an episode about this. Look into that. I'll link what episode it is in the show notes with EMDR, but that is a specific therapy modality or tool that helps clients work through their trauma in a pretty short amount of time. I don't want to sound like gimmicky or cheap, and like, but anyway, trauma's hard, especially if you have complex trauma, lots of trauma that's kind of built up in your body and brain. Then you have to rewire your brain to make that trauma feel further away, right? So you can get through your day to day, you can have healthy relationships, you can do the things. So EMDR really helps you do that in a really cool way in a shorter amount of time. So you're not doing a ton of verbal processing. So it works for people who just really don't want to relive their trauma verbally. You can do that with EMDR. So it's super, super cool mode of therapy. So talking about trauma processing with somebody who is equipped to help you, that's my number one tool, right? You can do it on your own, but it's going to take a little bit longer. It's always nice to have that accountability and somebody who's further along in the process than you are to help you along your way, right? So tool number two, avoiding negative coping skills. So I usually talk about things that we can do, but this is just as important. I just did an Instagram post about this too, and it's a super unpopular opinion, but avoiding negative coping skills like binging, mindlessly, you know, binging on food, Netflix, mindlessly scrolling on your phone, just using these tools that we have to fuel us and give us information to, you know, we're using those as a mode to escape. So just being really mindful, really intentional about what you're using your phone for, what you're using your Netflix, your Prime, like you're using those things as kind of a treat, right? To zone out. It's okay to zone out for a little bit. Like everyone needs that. I just don't want to think about things right now. I'm just going to watch this movie and it's great. It's going to bring me some joy. But if you're using that after you've been set off by something and you're wanting to use it as a tool to avoid and to escape, then that's the quickest way to, you know, never process your trauma. When you're moving away from the discomfort, you're moving away from doing the hard thing, which is the opposite of working through your trauma, right? If you're constantly compartmentalizing and putting your trauma on like this shelf deep, deep, deep in your brain in this closet and viewing it as this monster, this big, bad thing, you're never going to want to fucking open that door. You're never going to want to confront that thing because it's too big, too scary, too daunting, too much, right? But if you kind of lean into the day-to-day things that set you off and you're noticing like, oh, that person said something to me, it seemed kind of critical, but like, just going to lean into my breath right now and work through it. And just resisting that urge to put up your protective shield, right? Then that's going to get you so far in healing your trauma and working through stuff. But you have to practice doing the hard thing, leaning into it. That's the hardest part, but it's the most important, right? So using those negative coping skills like, oh, substances, didn't use that. I mean, tons of people, I have a lot of clients who use substances to escape and avoid, right? Usually cannabis, alcohol, and those things in moderation, totally cool, right? But if you're using those as a form to, you know, escape, I mean, cannabis helps a lot of my clients sleep. It helps them with their anxiety. You know, if I'm comparing cannabis to opioids, like cannabis hands down wins all day. I'm not going to ever tell people what they should do or shouldn't do. I'm always just encouraging people to be super mindful about their intentionality with the thing, right? So if you're going and drowning yourself in drinks every weekend to escape the shitty, bleak reality of your week and your day-to-day job or your relationships, things like that, like, let's look at that. Your weekends and like your evenings should not be spent just totally zoning out and disconnecting from your reality. So if that sounds like you, I mean, just something to get curious about, right? Like why the need to feel like you need to escape, you need to avoid, like there's something there. There's something big there that's scary and painful and strong that you need to confront. You got to talk about it, right? So therapy, avoiding those negative coping skills. The third one, my favorite one, movement, right? That's the best way to heal your trauma. Trauma loves stagnation. So if you're binging on food and Netflix and just kind of sitting in the shit, your trauma will just like accumulate, right? It's just going to be like, cool, I have a place to live. I have a place to be. This feels comfortable. This feels safe. And so, yeah, things like movement, whether that's something super active, like volleyball, jiu-jitsu, pickleball, or maybe you're just walking outside, maybe you're fishing, maybe you're outside in nature. That's also super therapeutic and really helpful for moving through trauma. Hiking is amazing. You know, so anything that you can do to just get your body moving, we have to move. The trauma lives in our body, right? It lives in ourselves. So we have to constantly work to release that from the inside out. So whether we're talking about it and we're, you know, with a friend, or we're just practicing saying the word trauma out loud so that we're destigmatizing it a little bit, or we're going on a walk by ourselves, like anything that you can do to move that trauma. It's, you know, rather than keeping it on a shelf deep, deep, deep in your brain with a label that says, do not open ever. So anything you could do to move the trauma. Grounding, obviously, I love grounding techniques like breath work, you know, mindfulness, those techniques, meditation, yoga, those are amazing for just allowing that trauma to move. So those are some tips for you guys. Hopefully you found this episode helpful. If you're somebody who has trauma, has experienced trauma, weren't really sure if you have or not, this episode is not to point out like, hey, pay attention. Everyone has trauma. Dig yours up. See how fun it is. It's just to bring attention and awareness to what trauma can look like, how it can show up, and how we can move through it. Because we can't fix what we can't see. So we have to bring that awareness to what's happening. So if you're someone who's just been super frustrated with your behaviors, or your life, or your performance, and you're just not sure why these things keep coming up for you, and you're really agitated or finding yourself in anxiety and depression, or dissociating, or you're binging a lot, or you're having issues sleeping, like, let's just look at the root cause. Let's look at what else could be coming into play here. Right. So that's the goal, just to bring awareness to trauma so that you can move through it. Cause oftentimes it's really subconscious, and it's, we have subconscious, you know, trauma responses and defense mechanisms that we do that we've always done. And we're just on autopilot doing those things. And until we, you know, someone brings it to our attention, or we listen to a podcast or read something, we're like, oh shit, I am in fight or flight a lot, or I'm a people pleaser. Like, I guess I fawn. Just looking into that a little bit and seeing how we can change it, you know? So awareness is key. So share this with somebody. If you've found it helpful, make sure that you guys subscribe to the podcast. I so much appreciate you for just listening and all the support that you give to the podcast. So thank you so much. Make sure if you're not following on Instagram, you can do that at Ready, Set, Mindful. And if you haven't picked up our anxiety ebook, make sure to check that out. It's on the website, Ready, Set, Mindful, or in the show notes. So I will see you guys next week. Make sure to leave us a review if you liked what you heard. We will catch you on the next episode.